The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human traditions.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What happens in the Gospels every single time the Pharisees and scribes show up? Do you know? Any writers in the room? It's like a switch that goes off that says, "Oh, there's going to be a conflict here." The Pharisees and the scribes, well, they showed up in Mark. Actually, they showed up quite a bit in Mark. And their purpose in all of the plots is to reveal the contrast to who Jesus really is. The Pharisees and the scribes are the best of the good religious people of their day. Now, I want to point that out as clearly and perhaps as gently as I can. The Pharisees and the scribes are the Duggar family of the first century, pointing their fingers at everybody who's not doing it the way they say it should be done. They're the Jerry Falwells, the Jim Bakers. They know all the rules, but they don't know Jesus. They are essentially the reason Jesus got crucified, because Jesus came to proclaim a different way. He came to lead the way. And it's not that the Old Testament was wrong. It's that the Old Testament was misread. It was used for harm. It was used for hurting people. It was used to grab rules out of. But the prophets had it right. The psalmists had it right. The prophets call us to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. If you read Isaiah or Jeremiah, what you find out is when we are doing an injustice to our neighbor, God's not happy. When we are worshiping with only our lips and not our hearts, God's not happy. The writer of James today says what the Old Testament prophets all said. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in distress. The writer James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, as God is. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Do you see why everyday preachers get so frustrated with televangelists? Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. And so today, brothers and sisters at First Lutheran, we celebrate ministry. We celebrate that God has called us to be doers of the word. And I hope you can all stay, even if you're not used to staying after church, stay for a few minutes and take in the ministry fair. Take in all the things that God has called us here together to do in order to be doers of the word and not just hearers. I noticed before the service there were some people putting their leaves up on the tree, our stewardship tree, which is all of our ministries. And some of you had to be coaxed a little bit to be thinking about what it is that you do here. And some of you think, I don't really do anything. And then we coax you to think further. What do you do? Do you acolyte? That's doing. And I got their attention. Do you pray? Do you sing? I notice some of you don't sing. Try it sometime. Even if you don't think God gave you a good voice, God gave you your voice, go ahead and sing. It matters to the person next to you. Do you support the ministries with your offerings? Do you support the person around you in the pew who might be here alone? Do you share the peace with them? Do you check in with them? Do you see how they're doing? We have lots of other ministries, things that it takes to make a church a church. I see we've got Hank and Riley ushering this morning. Raise up a child, right? I saw Riley waving at me from the balcony. She's like, she's counting you in the pews. What great exercise in counting. We're doing some new things, and you'll have a chance to talk to representatives of various committees. This year, our outreach committee has been talking with Jason Spring. And we were thinking, you know, what does this church do really, really well? We feed people. We feed people. And we have the food pantry. We're always sharing a meal. We don't ask questions when people want food. And so our outreach committee said, how can we make the kids at GHS North feel special? Let's make sure every one of them gets a birthday cake. Think about it. It's so simple. Judy Taylor's been organizing this, and she's got it all laid out for us, and we'll be doing more of this, and Jason will be with us after the service to talk more about this. But just a birthday cake with your name, with a card. I don't know if you've ever not felt special on your birthday, but we hope none of those kids ever do. We have a prayer weaving station where you can just put a word. Maybe it's somebody's name. Maybe it's just a symbol. But write it on a piece of fabric. Tie it to the trellis. And in the end, our prayers will be art. The mundane. Our buildings and grounds guys put their bricks out again this year. It's just a reminder that brick and mortar are part of what it is to be a church on this corner in this place. And we thank you, congregation. You finished paying off the bell tower debt. 3 years ago, when I was interviewing for this position, that was a big concern on your hearts. And the question was, do we have to bring in a special fundraiser to make this happen? And the answer was no. This isn't a rich congregation, but it's a generous congregation that understands stewardship. And so while we take care of our neighbors, while we take care of each other, we'll take care of the building too. Knowing, as has been true since the beginning of faith history, the Lord will provide. And we'll do our best. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. And so today we celebrate. We celebrate communion assistants. We celebrate singers. We celebrate musicians. We celebrate ushers. We celebrate your presence here. Because we are all connected as part of the body of Christ in this place. Some of you know this, but last weekend I was in St. Paul with our daughter. I was going through a rough stretch. And Anders Nelson is also in St. Paul. We sent him off to seminary. So we had supper with Anders on Friday night. Took him out for his first taste of Indian. And while we're having supper, the three of us, my daughter and Anders and I, we're trying to decide, where should we go to church Sunday morning? And there's a church in St. Paul that I know the youth and young adult ministries person, so I wanted to connect her to my daughter. So we settled on Gloria Day in St. Paul. And while we were there, I heard, I think, the best sermon on John 6 that I've ever heard. And we were surrounded by marvelous worship. They had a procession and all their people were in robes, they're air-conditioned. And we sang one of the hymns that I know we had picked for our service here last Sunday. And then we shared the meal. And as the assisting minister ripped off a piece of bread and put it in my hand, and I dipped it in the wine, it came to me that Christina and Anders and I in that congregation were so very attached to what was happening right here in this congregation. And that's how the body of Christ works. We are just a little portion of the body of Christ. Maybe this church is like a thumbnail. But if you've ever had a thumbnail ripped off, you know how important that is to the whole. Or maybe we're an elbow. You ever tried drinking a cup of coffee if your elbow's in a cast? Together we make up the body of Christ. We celebrate the ministries that God has called us to do and to be together. Thank you for your partnership in the ministries of the body of Christ here at First Lutheran. We hope that you'll continue the celebration by coming next door after the service, visiting with committee heads, with Jason, and with each other. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.